please open in your Bibles to Exodus 28 as we continue in our reading together of Scripture. Exodus chapter 28. Exodus 28. Then bring near to yourself Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the sons of Israel to minister as priests to me. Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. And you shall speak to all the skillful persons whom I have endowed with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister as priest to me. And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastpiece and an ephod and a robe and a tunic of checkered work, a turban and a sash. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister as priest to me. And they shall take the gold and the blue and the purple and the scarlet material and the fine linen. They shall also make the ephod of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen, the work of the skillful workmen. It shall have two shoulder pieces joined to its two ends, that it may be joined. And the skillfully woven band which is on it shall be like its workmanship of the same material, of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. And you shall take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel, six of their names on the one stone and the names of the remaining six on the other stone, according to their birth. As a jeweler engraves a signet, you shall engrave the two stones according to the names of the sons of Israel. You shall set them in filigree settings of gold. And you shall put the two stones on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as stones of memorial for the sons of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders for a memorial. And you shall make filigree settings of gold and two chains of pure gold. You shall make them of twisted cordage work. And you shall put the corded chains on the filigree settings. And you shall make a breastpiece of judgment, the work of a skillful workman, like the work of the ephod you shall make it. Of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen you shall make it. It shall be square and folded double, a span in length and a span in width. And you shall mount on it four rows of stones. The first row shall be a row of ruby, topaz, and emerald, and the second row a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold filigree. And the stone shall be according to the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, that they shall be like the engravings of a seal, each according to his name for the 12 tribes. And you shall make on the breastpiece chains of twisted cordage work in pure gold. And you shall make on the breastpiece two rings of gold, and shall put the two rings on the two ends of the breastpiece. And you shall put the two cords of gold on the two rings at the ends of the breastpiece. And you shall put the other two ends of the two cords on the two filigree settings, and put them on the other on the shoulder pieces of the ephod at the front of it. And you shall make two rings of gold, and shall place them on the two ends of the breastpiece on the edge of it, which is toward the inner side of the ephod. And you shall make two rings of gold and put them on the bottom of the two shoulder pieces of the ephod, on the front of it, close to the place where it is joined, above the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastpiece by its rings to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord, that it may be on the skillfully woven band of the ephod, and that the breastpiece may not come loose from the ephod. And Aaron shall carry the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment over his heart when he enters the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And you shall put in the breastpiece of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. And Aaron shall carry the judgment of the sons of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. And you shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue. And there shall be an opening at its top in the middle of it. Around its opening there shall be a binding of woven work, as it were the opening of a coat of mail, that it may not be torn. And you shall make on its hems pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet material all around on its hems, and the bells and bells of gold between them all around. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate, all around on the hem of the robe. And it shall be on Aaron when he ministers, and its tinkling may be heard when he enters and leaves the holy place before the Lord, that he may not die. You shall also make a plate of pure gold, and shall engrave on it, like the engravings of a seal, holy to the Lord. And you shall fasten it on a blue cord, and it shall be on the turban. It shall be at the front of the turban, and it shall be on Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall take away the iniquity of the holy things which the sons of Israel consecrate with regard to all their holy gifts, and it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And you shall weave the tunic of checkered work of fine linen, and shall make a turban of fine linen, and you shall make a sash the work of a weaver. And for Aaron's sons you shall make tunics. You shall also make sashes for them, and you shall make caps for them, for glory and for beauty. And you shall put them on Aaron your brother, and on his sons with him, and you shall anoint them, and ordain them, and consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests. And you shall make for them linen breeches to cover their bare flesh. They shall reach from the loins even to the thighs, and they shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they enter the tent of meeting, or when they approach the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they do not incur guilt and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and to his descendants after him. Thus reads the word of God. Amen. Exodus 28:36. You shall also make a plate of pure gold, and shall engrave on it, like the engravings of a seal, holy to the Lord. When we read the descriptions of the garments for the priests, we're often amazed at the precision and the specifications that are so detailed in their requirements. The materials to be used and the colors required bespeak such depth of commitment and perfection in the manufacturing and the wearing of the items in order to come into the presence of the Lord God. Even the decorative details are spelled out with precision so as to be honoring and holy to the Lord, as we're told in verse 35. And it shall be on Aaron when he ministers, and its tinkling may be heard when he enters and leaves the holy place before the Lord, that he may not die. There was a necessity that everything was done as holy unto the Lord. Nothing was left to personal interpretation, or to chance, or to happenstance. The every detail was to be dealt with as was honoring and holy unto the Lord, and in complete line with His guidelines and His stipulations. It was to be reckoned by the entire nation as holy to the Lord, because they were dealing with the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, the I Am. As we will read later in this book, in Exodus 39:30, the weavers and the metal workers did exactly as the Lord required. Exodus 39:30, and they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and inscribed it like the engravings of a signet, holy to the Lord. The key to this passage is the descriptive statement of the fact that it was a holy crown, placed upon the head of the high priest. This was not a crown of lordship as of a king or sovereign ruler. It was the crown of holiness, which indicated that the servant was going before the Lord, representing the people unto God, and then bringing His word back to the people in such an honored manner as to be the very voice of God's sovereignty and God's power. We will again get the pictorial image of this spelled out for us in the ordination and anointing of Aaron, as described in Leviticus 8:9. He also placed the turban on his head, and on the turban at its front, he placed the golden plate, the holy crown, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. This was not unlike the anointing that would take place in the future time when oil was poured upon the human king that the people demanded. However, at this juncture in history, the high priest wore the crown of holiness, not for his own power or control or dominion, but as representative of God's sovereignty over His people. God was recognized as the king of the nation, and the high priest with the crown that declared holiness unto the Lord was the one who represented that subjugation of the people under the dominion of the Lord God. This meant that the people accepted the dominion of God as their king and brought before the Lord through the crowned high priest their acknowledgement of the judgment that God would pronounce upon them through the order of the priesthood of Aaron. Because the high priest was crowned with the holiness of God, he was ordained to speak for the people in seeking the forgiveness of their transgressions throughout the year, and to receive the righteous judgment that would be upon those who so transgressed against the Lord. The civil matters were handled by the appointed magistrates and rulers under the orders as set up by Moses. But the matters of the sins of the people were dealt with through the priestly order in bringing the sacrifices and the offerings and the alms before God with hands that were not entangled with the minutiae of government. That is why, even after a human king was installed over the nation, there was that separation from the officials of government and the priestly order. The king was forbidden from serving as priest and vice versa until the advent of the perfect one, the true king and high priest, who is also the perfect sacrificial lamb, our Lord and Savior. As such, the priests were required not only to attire themselves in full accordance with the guidelines given to them in order to fulfill their proper role within the structure of their ministry, but they were to conduct themselves at all times as those representatives of God to the people. They were to prepare themselves in line with the every detail of their priesthood and perform the functions of their office strictly in accordance with what God required of them. To not do so, and to take upon themselves their own devices and methods outside of that which was strictly demanded and required by God, was to flaunt themselves as superior to God and to bring something unholy into the presence of His holiness. We see the distressing consequences of that vile impugning of God's holiness and God's righteousness detailed for us in Leviticus 10, 1 through 3. Leviticus 10, 1 through 3. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "It is what the Lord spoke, saying, 'By those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people I will be honored.' So Aaron therefore kept silent." Note how God saw the disrespectful behavior and action of those priests. "By those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people I will be honored." They did not treat God as holy, apparently just seeing what they were doing as a job to be done, and not as what was required in holy service unto the Lord God. They thought they knew better than God, and that nothing would befall them because of their choice to do their own thing in the Lord's presence. But the severity of how serious God was to be treated and respected is seen in the fact that they did not follow the stipulated course of action, which showed that God was holy and to be honored. They were consumed by the holy fire of the most holy God as an example to all the people that they served the Lord God Almighty and none other. The Lord stipulated this again for all the nation in Leviticus 19, 1 through 4, in the declaration of how the people were to see themselves and to be seen by all the other nations of the world. Leviticus 19, 1 through 4. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make for yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God.'" What is very interesting in this command of reverence from God to the people is the fact that they were to be holy as He is holy. Because He is the altogether Holy One, the people whom He was leading and saving and protecting and guarding were to be characterized by His holiness in the midst of all the other realms of this earth. They were to take His holiness as their holiness and honor Him in the manner in which they conducted themselves in the promised land that He was giving them. Also, please note how there is a familial emphasis in this decree. As He is the Heavenly Father, so were they to honor their earthly parentage, which He gave to them. They were to honor their fathers and mothers, echoing the commandment which is the only one with a promise, as we have already discussed at length. The honoring of father and mother is an honoring of the Heavenly Father. Then after that decree is the one to not turn to other gods of this realm. This is a hierarchy which reinforces the familial relationship which comprises the very essence of not only the eternal Godhead, but the focal aspect of how God created mankind. We are born into families, the product of the created relationship in the very heart and plan and purpose of God. Later, in Ezekiel 43:10 through 12, the entire structure of the Lord, built according to the law of the Lord, required absolute holiness, as evidenced in the attire of the priests, as we have seen. Yet it went far, far beyond just the outerwear into the very depths of the heart of God's people. Ezekiel 43:10 through 12. As for you, son of man, describe the temple to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the plan. And if they are ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the design of the house, its structure, its exits, its entrances, all its designs, all its statutes, and all its laws. And write it in their sight so that they may observe its whole design and all its statutes and do them. This is the law of the house. Its entire area on the top of the mountain all around shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. The prophet Zechariah in Zechariah 14:20 and 21 emphasized how there can be nothing unholy in the presence of the people of God, including their attitudes and their demeanors with regard to the surrounding vileness of the nations of wickedness. Zechariah 14:20 and 21. In that day there will be inscribed on the bells of the horses, "Holy to the Lord." And the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the bowls before the altar. And every cooking pot in Jerusalem and in Judah will be holy to the Lord of hosts. And all who sacrifice will come and take of them and boil in them. And there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts in that day. The mighty essence of God, expressed in His holiness, is seen in His creative manifestation, as highlighted by the psalmist, as we can read together in Psalms 93, if you would please open to it. Psalms 93. Psalms 93. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed and girded Himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Thy throne is established from of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their pounding waves. More than the sounds of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Thy testimonies are firm, fully confirmed. Holiness befits thy house, O Lord, forevermore. Not only do we have the demonstration of His power to create and establish, but we are also given the full measure of the fact that His holiness is presented in His house. This brings again to the forefront the truth of His familial relationship as established with us in His only begotten Son, the Word, by whom everything came into being. Please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, for the full emphasis of this fact. Let us read together these verses in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Note that the holiness of God, the light that shines in the darkness to enlighten everyone who will look upon Christ and receive Him into their hearts, manifests and brings those recipients into the familial relationship as children of God. This can only be in place in the hearts of mankind as they're covered by the holiness of Jesus Christ. Nothing unholy can be in the immediate presence of the Lord God Almighty. It can only be through Christ that we can stand before the throne of God and not be utterly consumed by the brilliance and the magnificence and the perfection of His holiness. This is only in place in the complete fulfillment of the plan and purpose of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. As He made Himself the only means by which the very holiness of God can be our covering for all of eternity, so can we know and relish and enjoy the perfect and living relationship Creator with His creation that will show forth the truth that we are, in fact, children of God. We are clothed in His righteousness and in His holiness for all of eternity. We are holy to the Lord, not in some forced and ritualistic mannerism and culture, but in our very hearts of desiring to please Him at all times, because we now love to honor and to reverence and to bring glory to Him forever and forever. So be it. You shall also make a plate of pure gold, and shall engrave on it like the engravings of a seal, holy to the Lord. Amen.